Madagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi. Welcome to King's Kids. Last week, Tony shared a couple of amazing stories of miracles that happened when he was speaking at a Christian men's conference in Coffs Harbour a few years ago.
Back in the 90s, I was running for Parliament, and I'd spent a fair bit of time during this time running for Parliament, travelling around to different communities, and not only travelling to communities, but preaching in a lot of churches. And that's how I funded myself, because I didn't preach in churches for money, but people gave me love offerings after sharing in their churches. I happened to be in Sydney. I got this phone call from a wealthy business friend of mine, and he said to me, "Blackfella, where are you?" And I say blackfella with an affectionate term because I am a blackfella, and a lot of my friends call me blackfella, and I'm comfortable with that. A lot of people aren't, but I am. What you see is what you get. You know, one of my granddaughters, you know, said to me, she said, "Poppy, do you want to come to the beach?" And she said, "I'll be the little dolphin and you'll be the fat whale." Kids are funny, and, you know, we got to understand that kids do these things, and you know, we love them. But getting back to the real story now is this, that this guy rings me up and he said, "Where are you today?" And I said, "Well, I'm in Redfern." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm at the airport." Okay, this friend of mine rings me up and he said, "Blackfella, where are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm in Redfern, as a matter of fact." He said, "Can you get a taxi and come to the airport?" He said, "And I'll just pay it. I'll meet you at the departures." After getting out of the taxi at the airport, my friend takes me into the lounge. And while I'm in the lounge, he's got four or five business people there with him. And all these people I know, they're all from my hometown. Anyway, he says to the guys, he said, "We've got about an hour before we board," he said, "but I'm just going to spend a bit of time with Tony by himself." He said, "Is that okay with you guys?" And so, being curious, I said to him, I said, where are you off to?" He said, "We're off to Canada." And I know this bloke grows cotton, and I couldn't imagine what they'd be going to Canada for, because it's been so cold over there. And his opening statement to me was, when we got by ourselves, he said, "Tony," he said, "last night I had a dream from your God." And I thought, that's a very interesting statement. He said, "Tony, I had a dream from your God." I said, "Okay, what was the dream all about?" He said, "I had a dream that I'm going to die in Canada." And I said, "Well, that'd be a reason enough not to go." He said, "No," he said, "in the dream, your God said to me, if I don't give you some money and support your campaign, that I'm going to die in Canada if I don't support your ministry." And he said, "But if you pray for me, I won't die in Canada. God wants me to give you some money now." And he opened his briefcase, and in his cannon kick, well, most men would understand this, if you're married, you have a cannon kick. And a cannon kick is where you have your money set aside for the wife and the bills and that, but you always have a cannon kick. That's your little nest egg. That's just your little hideaway money. So out of his cannon kick, he pulled out $5,000 in cash. And he said to me, "Your God told me to give you this amount of money. Tell me how much you need." Well, I said to him, I said, "My friend," I said, "if God gave you an amount of money to give to me, then you give me whatever you feel that God had told you to give me. No more, no less." Anyway, he peeled off 10 $100 notes. And he said to me, "I can give you $1,000 now, but," he said, "I'm going to give you an IOU for $5,000. And I want you to go, when you go back home, you just take it to my office and the girls will give you the $5,000. You can have a check or you can have cash." And I said to this man, I said, "Well, what else did God tell you in this dream?" He said that it was important that you pray for me. So I prayed for him. And I prayed for him right there at the airport. So when I left the airport and went back to Redfern, I continued for the next couple of weeks to do ministry around Redfern, around Sydney. And then I had to go back to Moree. And this guy was due back from Canada. I rang up and I said to him, I need to see you before I go to Grafton on the campaign trail. And he said, well, can you meet me tomorrow? He said, at my office at 7 a.m. which was going to be difficult for me because I was preaching that night in the city of Blacktown. I remember saying to God, I said, God, I know some of these meetings and the prayer meeting and everything after sometimes takes a while. I said, God, I said, for me to get home and to be there at 7 o'clock, it's a 7-hour, 8-hour drive from Sydney. So, Lord, I really need to finish early, about 8 o'clock. But you know what? It never works out with God the way we want it to work out at times, because it was 11:30 when I got in my car to leave that place. We had a fantastic night, a lot of people saved, a few people healed, and I said to God, I said, well, I'm going to need a miracle because I can't go from Sydney and be in Moree at 7 o'clock without having any sleep, because then logistically I have to drive from Moree to Grafton and I have to be there by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said, and I need sleep. But I just do what I do best. I prayed and I just prayed and I prayed and I prayed all the way to a place called Murrurundi, which is about 5 hours from Moree. And I goes to the roadhouse and I ordered two sandwiches, two toasted ham, cheese and tomato and onion sandwiches. And I had the lady cut them up in the quarters so that it'd make it easy to eat while I was driving. I ordered a huge cup of coffee and I filled the car up. And I wrote down the mileage because I had to put in the mileage to the political party that I was running for, because they was covering the mileage. So I wrote it all down and I got in the car and the coffee was still hot and I'm driving up the range, the New England range. And I just kept praying in the spirit, trusting God to help me get home in time and be free, refreshed. You know what? As I got up towards the top of that mountain, a miracle happened. Because as I started to go up the mountain, God transported me, not only in the spirit, but my body and my car. 1 minute I was on the mountain, the next minute I was sitting in my carport. What even made that more spectacular was my gate was locked. When I'm away, the family always lock the gates with a padlock and let the dogs out, let the Rottweilers out, you know, because we lived in a bad part of town. So I was, 1 minute I'm driving up the mountain, the next minute I'm sitting in my carport. I turned the car off, and then I looked over in the seat next to me, and my two sandwiches were still sitting there. And when I touched them, they were still hot. The coffee was hot. And then when I looked at the fuel tank, it was full. And then when I looked at the mileage, it had only changed a couple of kilometres from the time I wrote the mileage down at the gas station, at the petrol station. And then I looked at the clock and it was 2:30 in the morning when I left the petrol station, and here it is now, it was only a minute or two past that. So I took the sandwiches inside and I ate them, I drank the coffee, and I said to God, I said, I need to get up and change clothes, pack a suitcase and be out at the property by 7. But I said, God, I want to be able to not only do this, but I want to have a little bit of sleep, but I want you to make it like it was 16 hours instead of just a couple. And I got up, I packed the car and I drove out to this Blake's property. And the first thing he did when I got there, he gave me $5,000 in cash from the IOU from when I saw him at the airport. And I said to this guy, I said to him, can you tell me about your trip? And he said, when I got to Canada, he said, within 3 or 4 hours getting off the plane, remember I said to you in the dream that I would die in Canada? He said, well, I got sick. Within 4 hours of getting off the plane, he said, and then I went into a coma. And he said, the trip lasted 2 weeks, he said, and I was in a coma for the whole 2 weeks. He said, the moment I came out of the coma, the authorities couldn't wait to unload me, send me back to Australia, because they couldn't tell me what was wrong with me. And so they sent me back to Australia. He said, it's been a week since I've been home. He said, and I've been to 3 or 4 doctors and a couple of specialists, and they can't even tell me what's wrong with me. And he said, I know it's affected my health. I'm sick. And he said to me, the reason I wanted you here today is because I believe I'm not going to get better unless you pray for me. And I said to him, well, that's not a problem. He said, I'm in the God business, you know. We're in the healing business and I'm happy to pray for you. We were sitting in his office by himself, just the two of us, and then his secretary came in. And then he sort of shied off. He didn't want me to pray for him in front of his secretary. It's okay to talk about God when there's only two of us. But, you know, he was embarrassed to talk about God in front of his staff. He said, just wait a minute, just wait a minute. And then when I started to pray for him again, his other secretary came in and, you know, with the weather report, an update on the weather. And farmers, you know, live by the weather because especially when they're getting ready to harvest, you know, they can't afford to have rain on their crops and stuff like that. Anyway, cut a long story short, he just couldn't find the time to let me pray for him. And I had to leave and I said to him, I said, I'm sorry, my friend. I said, I appreciate the money. And I said, I am going to pray for you, for God to heal you. But God has told me to tell you this. Because of your embarrassment that you wouldn't let me pray for you in front of your staff, God said now that so that you'll know that he is God, that there's no doubt that God is God, that he's going to heal you, but he's not going to heal you now till tomorrow at 5 p.m. Not today, tomorrow. God was so precise at 5 p.m. And then when you feel it, you'll know God has healed you. Then you'll know that you can't question or doubt that the living God, Tony's God, has healed you. And you'll have no doubt whatsoever. So when I got in the car, I drove away and I prayed for him. And then I arrived in Grafton. I spent the day on the campaign trail kissing babies and shaking hands with the mums and dads. And I was with the leader of the party. And the next day, at 5:05, I get this phone call on my mobile. And the guy said to me, he said, I want you to know, he said, your God healed me today at 5 o'clock, right on 5 o'clock, not a minute before, not a minute after. And he said, I know in my heart that your God healed me. He said, nobody knows. We still don't know what it was that put me in a coma. But we know that everything that came to me in that dream, you know, when you were staying at Redfern, and how good was that, that you was close by to the airport when I had less than an hour to get on a plane, that you was able to come to me. And I shared the dream with you. And then everything that happened in that dream came to pass. You know what I mean? He said, God just was so good. And this guy, he wasn't a saved person. You know, I didn't get a chance to pray with him, but he'd want to become a Christian. But how could you not? If you're a skeptic out there today and you don't believe in miracles, how could you not, if that happened to you, put yourself in this man's position? How could these things happen and you not know who God is or make a commitment to letting God be part of your life?
I can't. beside his bed. Hospital flashed in red. His hands were small, so tiny. If she could take his place, memories that she'd replace. If she could only change his future. The room was caving in, she could not see straight. She looked toward the sky and she cried out, I'm giving it to God, 'cause I can't carry it. He can't break the wind, the storm, what I'm breaking into. I'm giving it to God, 'cause I can't help.
Months after he come back and God had healed him, I got a phone caller and he said to me, he said, Tony, he said, whereabouts are you? I said, I'm in Sydney. He said, if I buy a plane ticket for you, he said, can you fly home? I said, why, what's up? He said, well, I've had a couple of bad years on the farm, he said, and if I don't get a crop in this year, he said, I could lose the farm, lose the family farm. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. And he said, the problem is there's a big storm coming, like a mini cyclone coming, and it's coming from out west, and it's destroying everything in its path, like farms, crops, everything. And he said, it's heavy rain, hailstones. He said, and you know, cotton can't withstand, even rain would damage the quality of the cotton, let alone a hailstone would destroy it. He said, I'm going to lose everything. I wouldn't ask you to come, he said, but I don't want to lose anything, he said, and I know that your God listens to you when you talk to your God. And he said, and I'm asking for a miracle. He said, if I fly you home and fly you back to where you are, will you please come? So I said, of course I would. So I spoke to another Christian brother of mine, and we prayed for it and asked God for direction and what to do and how to pray. And God spoke to me clearly. So when I arrived at this man's farm, I went to his office and he showed me on the radar, on the computer, the storm coming. And he said to me, he said, what can you do for me? I said, well, I'm going to pray. And I asked him for a bottle of cooking oil, and I went around his property. And at different points where God told me to, I anointed the property boundary with oil. And I asked God to leave an angel wherever I anointed with oil, because there was a reason I wanted to do that, apart from God telling me. When I prayed, I said to God, I said, I don't want any wind or any rain or any hailstones to fall on his property, not where his crops are, not one drop of rain to fall on his side of the fence. And Lord, I said, this man has been a supporter of my ministry. When I've needed money to go away preaching, this man's provided the finances. And Lord, and I'm asking you for a miracle. And I prayed that God that nothing would damage his crop, no wind, no rain or hailstones. And you know, we did all that and we went back to the office. And while we were sitting there, we watched the storm came in, because Moree's a flat country. You can see the storms coming for miles. And you know, but because his office was up above the ground, it was above the workshop, you could see everything. You could see the neighbour's property, you can see everything. When the rain came, when the winds came and the hailstones came, it destroyed all his neighbours' crops, destroyed all their cotton. Billions and millions and millions of dollars was destroyed in one afternoon. After it all finished, we got in a car and drove around his property, and you couldn't even see where one hailstone or one drop of rain had fallen on his side of the fence. There was nothing. He had a bumper crop that year, and he made a fortune because a lot of the other crops were wiped out. But you see, God gives favour not only on the Christians, but he gives favour on the unsaved as well. You see, God makes the sun to shine on everybody. He just doesn't make it shine on the Christians and punish the unsaved. God gives good weather for all of us. And you see, because this man was unsaved, he asked me to pray, and I stood in the gap for him, and I prayed for him, and God answered. And that's what we can do as Christians. We can intercede for our neighbours. We can intercede for our family that are sick. We can intercede for our friends. And if you're a Christian today, and God's put it on your heart to pray for your neighbour or to pray for your unsaved family, then if you intercede for them, stand in the gap, then expect a miracle. Expect God to do something, because God will never let you down. He'll always turn up. It not be the way you want it to happen, but you know, God's plan and your plan sometimes can be two different plans. But God's plan is always the best plan.
I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord, declares the Lord. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, declares the Lord.
During my time on the campaign trail, when I said I was going to be in Grafton the next day in Lismore, when I arrived in Lismore, the family that took me in, they had a very unique situation. They'd been in motel business for over 20 years. When they finally sold their motel business, they built this beautiful house. But underneath it, they built two motel rooms underneath their house for visitors. And it usually had everything in it, just like a motel room for people to stay there. But I'd actually met these people when I was travelling the country speaking against drugs with a woman called Angela Woods. She'd lost a daughter to one ecstasy tablet, and the family's quite famous for their story about their daughter. And this lady and I travelled the country for about 5 years. Because I'd left home early in the morning, I didn't have time to pack everything, and the only thing I didn't have in the suitcase was toothpaste. And the only thing that wasn't in the hotel room underneath the house was toothpaste. And I'd eaten something that didn't agree with me, and I felt I had bad breath, and it was really bugging me and annoying me. And it was about midnight, and there was nothing opened, and it was driving me crazy. And I remember finishing my prayer time, and I said to God, I said, oh, if I go and find a garage open or something, I might be able to get some toothpaste. And God spoke to me. He said, Tony, he said, no. He said, you bought your toothbrush. He said, get the toothbrush out. And I want you to turn the hot water on. He said, and I want you to wash the toothbrush 3 times. He said, I want you to wash it 3 times and make sure there's nothing on it. And I said, okay, God, well, I'll do that. And I washed it 3 times and there was nothing on it. And now God said, now put it in your mouth and clean your teeth. And when I put it in my mouth, it just foamed up. Like there was toothpaste on it. It just foamed up. I rinsed my mouth, cleaned it out. You know what? And I said, what an awesome God. I said, God, how much do you love me? How much do you care about me? It says on your word, you know, that you give us the desires of our heart. And you knew my heart was I wanted to clean my teeth. I wanted to feel comfortable before I went to bed. Even an awesome God in heaven made sure that he gave a miracle in the sense that there was no toothpaste in the room, there was nothing on my brush, and that when I cleaned my teeth, it just foamed up. When I got up at 6 o'clock the next morning, and after I had my breakfast, getting ready for another busy day, I still didn't have any toothpaste. And I did it again, and it just foamed up and cleaned my teeth. And you know what, the people that were staying with me, I shared that story with them later that night when I came back to stay again. And you know, and I ministered to them, and you know, just telling them that story, they both got saved and become Christians.
Thanks, Tony. The songs today were Plans with Jules Writing, Naomi Streamer with Giving It to God. Tony has been speaking today on miracles and how God loved him so much that he provided all his needs, even toothpaste on a toothbrush. We need to sometimes just sit back and look at all the things that God provides us with. We're blessed every day by the little things. Miracles are around us. We just need to look closer or even open our ears to hear. John 4, verse 48. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. That's it for today. If you'd like a copy of today's program, send an email to admin@rema.fm. We will see you next week, or find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or give Tony a call on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Take care.